part of this. It's very much her moment, but she is loving sharing it, clasping her hands to her chest, shaking the hand of Stephen Bryant very, very warmly, and already warmest of hugs with tonight's conductor, Marin Alsop.
A little curtsy to the audience as she strides off. Well, no, strides off. I should say she walks off elegantly in the Vivian Westwood outfit number one. I think there are various people backstage making sure it's absolutely where it should be.
I think there's a whole coterie of anonymous dressers who are doing their work.
Those were the days. Well, that's what opera stars used to have, after all. They always had a dresser, at least one dresser, who looked after all their appurtenances and their corsage. Is that what you say?
The corsage
arrangement you talked about earlier.
Yes, there's all sorts of things going on there. Dresses, wonderful shoes, gowns, all sorts of things, and more, as you said, of that later. But, I mean, the evening so far, Sean, you and I have done several last nights together, and you more than me. And
I think this is way up there. I think this is the best so far. It has shot along in a wonderful way.
I think musically, incredibly rich, diverse, and reflects all of the themes of this year's proms, as of course you would expect it to. But there's always a fantastic sense that the promenaders who make this festival so unique are giving it their utmost attention, even though there are several of them down there dressed in pith helmets and with Union Jack waistcoats.
Well, they've been very good, because I thought they might have got out of control just a little bit earlier, because the party sort of starts after the interval. But they've been, you could hear the proverbial pin drop, and I think you could sense that Joyce felt that. I think great artists who come here say there is something incredibly special. All the people who are there are really, really loving it.
Well, one thing we would love to hear from you tonight is where you are, where you're listening, where you're enjoying the proms, and perhaps even the tipple you're enjoying it with. If you are on such a thing as Twitter, you'll find us at BBC Proms or use the hashtag BBC Proms. We'd love to know how you're enjoying this last night.
Susie already knows, apparently someone's watching it in Avignon on a huge screen in a garden.
Yes, Professor Robin Marshall has set himself up with a big screen in France, and we'd love to know how you're enjoying it.
Good, well, let us know. We're with you, of course, throughout when all the party starts later and the traditional celebrations go on. Marin Alsop, of course, conducting, making her last night debut, the first woman to conduct this orchestra, and doing wonderfully well. She was absolutely hardly a minute to spare yesterday. The rehearsals going on all day and all evening, but she made a sort of quick break last night to talk to me live on In Tune.
Good evening, Sean. How are you?
Great. Are you still standing?
Well, actually, at the moment, I'm sitting, thank heavens.
How's it been?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a bit like a marathon, an overnight marathon or two-day marathon, because we have so many pieces we're rehearsing and, you know, getting organized. So, but it's going really well, and we're having a few good laughs while we're doing it, so that's always important.
I mean, this is an extraordinarily varied program. Do you do anything else like this in your other existences?
Not to this degree. I think the blend of classical and more popular-oriented and patriotic music, it's quite unique, I think, to the last night of the proms.
What's your early experience? Do you remember listening to it as a young person?
You know, I have to say, in the United States, it really didn't get on our radar. We're so myopic in any case. But as soon as I started working in the UK in the 90s, I heard about it, and I started watching it on television when I was here. But, of course, those were the days before you could get everything streamed as it is online and access to it. But so since then, I've watched it several times.
What do you feel about the sort of, well, shall we say, the celebratory element of the last night?
Oh, it's like, I mean, I love when people really come off the rails as they do at the last night. It's so much fun. It's like a big party, but the great thing for me is that it's a big party celebrating classical music. And that's what Sir Henry Wood envisioned, you know, that this would be a way, I mean, through the proms and, of course, through the last night especially, to reach out to people and embrace them and include them in this great art form and not to be exclusive about what we do. So for me, the underlying meaning is very, very important.
And I know you like colour and vivacity in both the different festivals you go to and in your contemporary music festival. You've had colour on stage with pianos sort of flashing different colours when people play. So are we too stuffy, do you think, in the main?
Well, you know, that's so hard to say, isn't it? Because so much of what we do in classical music is about tradition and referencing back. But I don't mind if we let the sort of trappings go and have a different kind of presentation and have different, you know, different decorations and different lighting and this kind of thing. I mean, I think the last night takes that to a new level, of course. But during our regular concerts, you know, during my concerts in Baltimore and also now in Sao Paulo, I enjoy speaking to the audience a little bit, and that seems to break down a barrier. So, you know, I'm not opposed to that as long as we remain true to the composer.
Absolutely. So what will you be saying in your speech? Give us a clue.
Let's see. Oh, I was going to talk about you, Sean. Do you mind? I was going to tell some of those jokes you told me last time. Oh, no, maybe I couldn't.
No, I think even though it's late at night, I think possibly not.
Maybe not. You're right, Sean.
Well, while all the flag waving and the party poppers are going off, people may not be aware of a small crack going on, and that is the glass ceiling breaking, because you are the first woman ever to conduct the proms, and it's 118 years. What do you feel about that?
Well, I'm, you know, I'm very, very honored and very proud and somewhat shocked that it's 2013 and there can still be firsts for women. But for me, this is all about being the best we can be and opening doors for the next generations and giving people who have real talent opportunities. And I'm extremely thrilled and grateful to Roger Wright and the BBC for inviting me to this special occasion.
Maren Allsop, who was talking to me in InTune yesterday. She was rehearsing all day, and then she was going back to rehearse all evening. And all I can say is it's been absolutely worth it. It's been a terrific first half at the Proms.
Yeah, absolutely cracking. It whizzed along at an incredible pace. We'll be hearing not only from Maren during tonight's interval, other artists too, notably Joyce DiDonato, in a short while, so stick around for that. Meanwhile, our fearless Proms reporter, Georgia Mann, has been braving all sorts of weather this season, boiling sunshine, hurling rain. She's been out there meeting the people who give this festival its unique atmosphere, the promenaders, and she's over in the arena with some of them right now. Hello, Georgia.
Hello, Susie. Yes, I am on a heaving arena floor, which is a sea of Union Jacks in all possible forms. I've got a lady with Union Jack flowing locks. There's a sequined Union Jack dress. I've just seen a Union Jack waistcoat. How many more can there really be? And I am feeling seriously underdressed myself right now, I have to say. With me are two last night promers, one of whom we have heard from before. Oh, yes. When I spotted him and his friends shedding clothing, no less, in the boiling sun as they queued for Wagner's Die Walküre. That seems like a lifetime ago. Hello again, Sean.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm all right. It's lovely to see you again. But also with me is a lady sporting an incredible Union Jack-inspired headdress. It's a confection that I just can't quite describe adequately. Rebecca is with me, who has been to no less than 60 of the 75 Albert Hall-based proms. Rebecca, that is impressive. Why the marathon approach, please?
Well, I decided that I needed a bit of a challenge this year, and rather than try and run a marathon or anything too physical, I thought I would come and try out some classical music and learn a lot more about the genre.
Yeah, well, talk about an immersive approach. I mean, you'd never actually been to a prom before, had you?
No, I hadn't. So the first night of the proms was my first experience of promming and my first experience here at the Albert Hall, and it's been wonderful.
And now here you are at the last night. It has gone by in a flash, on because it feels so soon that we first met, Die Walküre. You've been to a fair few proms yourself this season. And as I said, I mean, I met you alongside your friend Al. You two play in a rock band together, but you are the most passionate Wagnerites anyone can meet. Yes, he says. I mean, that experience watching the Berlin Staatskapelle under the baton of Daniel Barenboim, doing what many critics have said almost is a definitive ring cycle. I mean, can you even begin to sum up that experience?
No.
You're going to have to.
It was incredible. It was absolutely amazing. I've never seen anything that's touched that. And yeah, I mean, as you say, it's hard to sum up in words. But, you know, Parsifal was amazing as well, you know, that we saw. And, you know, the Master Singers tonight, really enjoyed that. But, you know, there's so much more to the proms for me than just Wagner. I've discovered a lot more music, and it's just been incredible. Absolutely.
And this is your first last nights. And I know you were slightly apprehensive earlier on, Sean, perhaps because of there's a boisterous atmosphere here, she says, as a beach ball goes flying through the air. What do you make of it thus far?
Bizarre, to be honest, but excellent. I'm really enjoying it. It's proper, you know, it's a great atmosphere. Yeah, and the music so far has been incredible. The Bernstein, I've really loved. And yeah, it's fantastic, bizarre, and you know, it's a lot of it's going over my head.
Literally over your head, because there's a balloon just zooming around above us. Rebecca, you've been to 60, so it must be very hard to pick out a highlight, but if you absolutely had to, what might it be?
Well, I mean, this has to be one of them. I've always wanted to come to the last night, so I'm thrilled to be here. But if I had to pick one of the others, it would probably be Mahler's Second Symphony, which just was a very touching and fabulous experience. And I can't wait to hear that one again at some point.
And plenty more still to come. Thank you both so much, Rebecca and Sean. Back to you now, Sean, to the other wonderful Sean.
Yes, there are a lot of us around tonight. Susie and I will be checking up the flags of many nations very shortly. Thank you, Georgia. Somewhere in the middle of the arena, Susie and our little box, like the Muppets, were looking down to see where she was. But it's impossible because, well, it looks like a day at the races from here, actually. Because everybody's just taking their ease before the second half begins. So much going on, of course. It's marvellous to have Caerphilly with us today, Belfast on the Titanic slipway, Glasgow Green, and, of course, across the way from the Royal Albert Hall, Hyde Park in London, a glorious spot for a lot of music making. And Joseph Kaleha, one of the great singers of our time, one of the great tenors, lyric tenors of our time, did a great Verdi prom here on Thursday night. But he's the great outdoors tonight, and he's been singing some Spanish music for them. So here he is with the BBC Concert Orchestra and Richard Balcom, and music by Pablo Sorazabal.
No puede ser, esa mujer es buena. No puede ser, una mujer malvada. En su mirada una luz singular, es esto que esa mujer es una desventurada. No puede ser una mujer sirena, que envenenó las horas de mi vida. No puede ser, porque la vi rezar, porque la vi querer. Las horas que lloran no saben mentir, las malas mujeres miran así, tiemblan con sus ojos dos lágrimas.
I think they liked him. That was the crowd in Hyde Park with Joseph Kaleha, the BBC Concert Orchestra conducted by Richard Balcom, and It Cannot Be by Sorazabal.
No perde ser.
Thank you. Beautifully done. Thank you, Sean. Susie Klein and Sean Rafferty with you on this,
yes,
the last
the
night of the proms.
Oh, I'm just going to stand up.
Well, we're joined
with
now.
Two distinguished guests.
By two players from tonight's orchestra, the BBC Symphony Orchestra. Beverly Jones, double bass, Michael Axton, cello.
Hello
to you two.
Hello.
Good
there.
Evening. Hello.
You're looking very smart. I just thought that was the way you dressed all the time, but it's interesting about you. Last year, I think the orchestra all wore white jackets, and you're in full white tie and tails.
That's right. Apparently, TV don't like white jackets because most of our jackets aren't white, various shades of grey by the end of the season.
How many last nights have you each done then? Are you novices or are you old hands at this?
Oh, I think this is my third one as a member of the orchestra, but I'd done two before that as a guest player. So this is number 5 for me.
And this is about my 10th. or 11th.
So you're deeply experienced. What then is the atmosphere like when you're on stage? Because we know what it feels like to sit out here, and we're all having the jolliest of times. Is it hard to concentrate?
It's quite shocking when you come out for the second half. I remember the first time I did it and came out the second half, and I thought I was in the middle of this crazy party.
You are.
We are, yes. No, it's fantastic atmosphere. It's kind of been building the whole season. You have all these fantastic concerts and you get to recognise some of the promise, and then you come out and it's as if everyone's sort of let loose for the second half.
They do behave. Just take the promise. OK, they're going to go a bit sort of mad in the second half, but they're extraordinarily silent and well-behaved. Have you found that throughout the season?
Especially in that half just gone. I mean, Lark Ascending, you could hear a pin drop, and also in the Handel aria, absolute silence, and at the end after we'd finished as well.
What did you feel like with someone like Joy singing with you?
She's just incredible. I mean, that Rossini at the end was just... I had goosebumps. I don't know what it was like for you. It's always hard to keep playing. She's so amazing. And she's just entered into the whole spirit of The Last Night of the Proms, as you will see in the second half.
I was talking to her as we came off stage, and she was as high as a kite, you know, just full of excitement about the whole thing.
High as a lark. I just want to say just how wonderful Beverly's looking tonight. I mean, Joyce is wearing a very smart dress. Yours is a deeper tone. Joyce is burgundy. Yours is more imperial purple, but very smart.
She did just comment on my dress. We thought we complimented each other in our shades of purple.
This is all getting too girly, even for me. I'm moving it on. One of the things that constantly amazes me about what you guys do is the sheer range, the variety of music you are just expected to get through this season. 11 proms, and I mean, of the ones that I've been to, the first night, then you do Tristan and Isolde, Tippett, Midsummer Marriage, Urban Classic, then I was here at Osmo Vanska's the other night. I mean, it's just vast. Are you not all knackered?
Yes. I think Michael and I are in the minority in the orchestra in that we have done all of the BBC Symphony Orchestra proms. So we're the hardcore members.
I'm ready for my holiday next week.
Yes. Yeah. What are you going to do tomorrow?
Tomorrow I'm going to have a lie-in, and then Tuesday I'm going to Ibiza.
Well deserved.
I think that's all. What about you?
I'm not going to Ibiza. Although that sounds quite good. Yes, definitely a rest tomorrow.
Listen, the crowd's coming back. You may be swamped. They may want to just take you away, so we better let you go back and play. Lovely to have you with us, and thank you very much indeed. Enjoy the second half.
Beverly Jones and Michael Acton, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Well, we were talking very briefly about some of my highlights just of the BBC Symphony Orchestra. One of the definite highlights for them and for us is just being able to hear Joyce DiDonato singing live tonight. Just outstanding, and it is her first Last Night of the Proms. I caught up with her earlier to see how she felt during this morning's rehearsal.
It's so big, and you come out, and of course this is enormous chorus and the enormous orchestra, and the buzz and the excitement is just happening like crazy. I walked out, and I'm just nervous about, you know, walking in shoes and gowns, so I'm sitting here, okay, don't fall, and I'm looking down, and then I turn around, hello Marin, greet the conductor, greet the thing, and I look up, and there's the Royal Albert Hall. And I've seen it before. I've been standing on that stage before, and it still is like... It's like Christmas morning. It's breathtaking. And you just think, oh, I'm here. This is the last night of the proms. It's so exciting.
Now, you've been tweeting quite a lot. And I looked at your Twitter feed yesterday and you said, pomp and circumstance, you were tearing up already about it.
I was.
Are you going to be able to keep it under control tonight?
I don't know. I haven't the faintest idea. I'm going to allow myself to lose it a little bit. I got very emotional today in singing Tanti Affetti, which means so many emotions that you have given to me, has a completely different meaning in this circumstance. I'm used to singing at the end of a long night of Rossini opera, but here I'm thinking, oh, indeed, this is so much and so many emotions that I'm feeling here. I think the rest of the rehearsal, I'm going to allow myself, especially, oh my gosh, Danny Boy and Somewhere Over the Rainbow. These are songs that are very personal to me and very important to me. And to sit here and think, I'm going to allow myself to feel the emotion so that tonight I can actually do my job, sing it with all that emotion, but make sure that I'm giving it and not keeping it for myself. That's important.
How much is tonight and the music in tonight a sort of reflection of you and your personality? You've said that some things like, you know, the Isle and Somewhere Over the Rainbow is deeply personal. So how much is this a kind of portrait of you at the last night?
I think it's an extraordinary portrait, other than I'm just missing a little bit of humor. You know, it's maybe that's the only element of my personality that's missing.
So we don't get the Joyce raised eyebrow.
Well, maybe during, in between songs or something. But, you know, I think I'll have some fun with Rule Britannia. Britannia for sure. What an honor to sing that. But I think, you know, for example, the combination of arias, we have a very exuberant French aria that's sort of like being blast out of a cannon, a very poignant Handel aria, and then Rossini. I mean, I think that's a pretty good portrait of what I do as a on the operatic stage.
And partly, I suppose, for the audience around the world, a way of opening the door into opera for maybe people who don't go to opera houses and see things in full. Is it a way of inviting people into your world as well?
I hope every time I open my mouth and sing, it's an invitation for people to go, either those that are, you know, the diehard opera fans, to maybe hear it with a fresh voice or go a little bit deeper. And those people that don't even know what opera is, there'll be a lot of those people listening and watching tonight. I'd like for them to see what the capacity of the human voice is, because a lot of times we're not exposed to that in everyday life. And I think it's kind of an extraordinary feat what opera singers do.
Do you remember a time growing up in the States where you became aware of this institution, the last night of the proms? I mean, how far back is that embedded in the memory?
A little bit. And it was on my radar screen as a classical musician. But it really popped onto my screen, I have to say, 15 years ago. It's when I signed with my manager for the first time. I couldn't get management. Nobody in New York wanted me. And I got a phone call from a Welsh man named Simon Goldstone. He was with IMG at the time, and he said, I think you're fabulous, and I want to represent you worldwide. Personally, I couldn't quite believe it, because that was a big-time manager, and I was just thinking, if I could just get anybody to take me, I'd be happy. One of the first things he said is, one day, you will sing at the last night of the proms. And I said, the what? And he said, one day. So from the very beginning with and I'm still with him today, he's been my only manager, this has been a dream of his. And of course, then I took this on. I understand now the immense meaning of it and the honor that is associated with it. And I've been watching it every year since then. And I, as best as I can from the outside, understand what the enthusiasm and the atmosphere is. But I know it. Nothing has prepared me for actually walking on that stage tonight.
Joyce DiDonato talking to me earlier today. Well, one regular feature of the proms is the nightly shout-out from the arena. This is where the promenaders announce the running total of how much they've collected for musical charities as the season goes on. And the last night is all about the grand total. So let's find out where the money's going to and how much they've raised. Georgia Mann is down in the arena.
Hi, Susie. Yes, I am in the midst of kind of Olympic-level inflatable ball bashing at the moment, and I'm joined by Sheila Cohen, who is the chairman of the Promenaders Musical Charities, the people who do all the hard work to get the money in the right places. Sheila, yesterday, 82,200. This is a huge number. How confident are you about tonight's big reveal?
Oh, I'm very confident. Last night always produces a wonderful amount. People are very generous. People go away very happy and dig deep into their pockets.
Now, give us some idea of which charities benefit from this, because it's all very much about supporting the musical community, isn't it?
Right, yes. We always support the Musicians Benevolent Fund and the Click Sergeant. Then we used to have one extra charity, and because of the wonderful amounts we're getting, we then had two. And this year we have three extra charities, and they're the Handel House Museum, Voices Foundation, and Live Music Now.
I'm very excited to hear that the Handel House Museum are on there. It is an absolutely wonderful place to spend some time. But I have to just, I mean, this it requires an awful lot of commitment from you, Sheila, and your team. You've been doing this for some time, and you're approaching retirement from the role, are you not?
I'm going to stay on as a trustee, but yes, I'm going to retire as chairman.
Now, the big moment, Sheila, is about to arrive, because I am now going to ask, please, the team from the Promenaders Musical Charity, gather round all ye, please will you tell us, in your own inimitable style, how much has been raised in this prom season 2030?
As traditional as the last night of the proms, the shout out from the promeners themselves. They've been rattling their buckets as well as taking pleasure in the music. They've raised over £82,000 so far. Fantastically well done for all those wonderful charities.
And as we said earlier, Sean, this fabulous community for them of people who love music and come to seriously listen and enjoy, but this is their moment of catharsis coming up because we're about to embark on the second half.
I know,
half,
but it gets rather noisy. I'm just a bit worried. I'm looking, the balloons have got bigger.
Yes,
and they are bouncing around the arena. There's a very large banana, I think it's possibly coming our way. And the flags of different nations are about to sprout. It's very nice to see so many nationalities represented. Susie and I have a crib sheet here, but we may misinform you because a lot of the flags are faintly similar. So let us just say they are myriad and colourful. And
it's become one of the great traditions of the last night of the Proms that we get every flag wrong. Now, we've more music by Leonard Bernstein kicking off the second half of this last night of the Proms. It's only taken 118 years, but tonight Bernstein's student, Marin Alsop, is here on the podium representing the girls, the first woman to conduct the world's greatest classical music party. And it is one of Bernstein's most glittering scores that she's chosen next. We've got two numbers from Candide. We're going to hear the overture and his wonderful anthem for common sense over highfalutin philosophy. It's Make Our Garden Grow. I mean, it's one of those pieces, Candide, particularly the overture, that's very often heard on the concert platform, not always heard as a full musical. A great piece. And I suspect it'll get this lot going, as you said.
Oh, I think so. Make Our Garden Grow is marvellous. And it's a BBC chorus will be singing that. And, you know, we have to think, as we're listening to this, that everything is the best and the best of all possible worlds. I know we're not living in the best of all possible worlds, but there are people who are trying to make it better. And I think music is certainly one of the major ingredients. Welcome, Miss Alsop. Here she comes.
One of the great advocates for making the world a better place by bringing us fantastic music. It's Marin Alsop returning to the stage of the Royal Albert Hall to join the players of the BBC Symphony Orchestra and the singers of the BBC Symphony Chorus.
Thank you.
music from Leonard Bernstein's Candide. That was the glittering overture. And next, slightly more somber, Make Our Garden Grow. Music by Leonard Bernstein from Candide. That was Make Our Garden Grow, the BBC Symphony Orchestra and BBC Symphony Chorus, conducted here at the Proms by Maren Allsop. Well, next on the bill, it's another story of hope in the future. It's Verdi's Chorus of the Hebrew Slaves from his opera Nabucco. Thank you. music by birthday composer Giuseppe Verdi, born 200 years ago, perhaps what must be his most famous chorus, the chorus of The Hebrew Slaves from Nabucco. The BBC Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Marin Alsop, led tonight by Stephen Bryant. The BBC Symphony called Chorus, giving some fantastic performances as well this evening.
Well, the flags are out. They're really starting to wave. The fun begins now before the real eruptions. I mean, traditional fare on the last night. Parry and Arne sung to the rafters. Our soloists have got some gems up their sleeves. Joyce probably on her sleeves. Nigel in Gypsy mode shortly. And we know Joyce is virtuosic. Massenet, Handel, high octane Rossini in the first half. She's about to show her versatility and ease with the lighter side of the repertoire. She sang this one in tune a couple of years ago with Antonio Pappano on piano, no less. It was, as they say, a very class act. So we're off down the yellow brick road. Dorothy and her friends and Toto the dog. It's Harold Arlen's music from The Wizard of Oz. So we've got the American dream, a fairer world. Joyce has done the first. She's passionate about the second. Here's the girl from Kansas. Wow, and another fantastic glowing dress. More of that anon. We're over the rainbow, we really are.
Thank you.
I think she can fly over the rainbow. With her touch of class, she's just thrown her flower into the adoring audience. Joyce DiDonato, Marin Alsop from the BBC Symphony Orchestra, music by Arlen, and she's changed her dress. It's just as you disagree. A sort of dark pearl with silvered aquamarine highlights. Anyway, it shimmers like a million diamonds as she walks off the stage. Really wondrous.
Absolutely fabulous, and what a beautiful arrangement. The orchestra sounded so luxurious in that as well. It was just fabulous meeting of voice.
So am I right about dark pearl and shimmering highlights like a million diamonds?
I'll let you get away with it. I would have said cafe au lait.
Okay.
I think it's a pale coffee.
Au lait to you too. It'll be au lait next. Pretty close, actually.
Well, interesting because, yes, next we have... Oh, we've got promenaders shouting.
Oh, I think it's just high spirits.
High spirits, party poppers going off. It's the usual stuff here at the Proms.
It's going to get worse.
I know.
Or better.
Worth saying, yes, a bit of ole, sort of, next. It's not remotely Spanish, but it allows our next soloist, Nigel Kennedy, to have his share of the limelight because he's already given us music that is quintessentially British. And next he gives us something that's got a much more heady, sort of Eastern European flavour. It's a chardash, that favourite dance of Hungary.
Oh, look, he is wearing that football shirt.
And
I cannot believe it.
That, yes, Hungarian, very authentic for a chardash football shirt.
I'm not too sure we've got too many Aston Villa supporters in the house.
And typically he's brought on a cup of tea, which is just his thing.
Oh, Nigel,
you
won't
need
it.
But I think he's going to be having some fun here, shaking the hand of Stephen Bryan.
You can have a cup of tea afterwards, number 11. Your time is not yet up. Ooh, monster booze. Not really.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is how you do a csárdás. A favourite dance in rural Hungary since the 18th century. I don't think many Hungarians would particularly recognise that version. Utterly unique. Given here at the Proms by Nigel Kennedy, Marin Alsop conducting the BBC Symphony Orchestra.
And he's getting a present. He's getting a kiss. Well, he wouldn't take a present without giving a kiss.
Well deserved.
Lorraine Davis from Virginia, teaches orchestra at the American School in London. This is her idea of relaxation. That was absolutely extraordinary. That was more like the most elegant fencing match you've ever seen. All I can say is Nigel Kennedy has met his match at Marin Alsop. Nothing is going to faze her.
How fantastic to see people who are at the top of their game, some of the very best performers in the world, letting their hair down and just having such a good time and sharing
just
it with everybody.
As you will have recognised, not a lot of that music was in the original score. So we had a grand tour of world music and bits of Vivaldi and everything thrown in. And none the worse for it, we are. Nigel Kennedy, an extraordinary showman and a brilliant musician overall. Waving wildly, he and Marin going off stage. Well, they're starting to go wild at the Proms. That has certainly pushed the temperature up. No,
they're going to
let them go. They're not going to let them go yet. I noticed more flags. Do you notice more flags, Susie?
Sean, I'm going to let you gen up on the flags. You know I'm hopeless with the flags. I love the fact that the last night of the Proms as a format can embrace something as ravishing as Joyce DiDonato in her gown.
I know.
And well, Nigel Kennedy with his spiky hair and his football shirt. All are welcome here. As long as you can play.
I thought Nigel was going to come back, but I don't think so. So we await Joyce DiDonato. And she said this is what was going to make her most nervous, believe it or not. It's something that's very much in her heart. An arrangement especially made by Chris Hazel for tonight. Of the Londonderry collected by Miss Jane Ross in Limavady in the County Derry, an anthem many Hibernian exiles feel very close about. And Joyce, I have to say, is from Kansas, but her maiden name is O'Flaherty, so this is in her very being. Here she comes. Marin Alsop 2 and the BBC Symphony Orchestra. Call it Danny Boy, call it Londonderry air, she'll sing it. Thank you. Joyce, the tug of the heartstrings. Chris Hayes' arrangement of the Londonderry Air, sung by the girl from Kansas with the Irish blood, Joyce Di Donato, here at the Albert Hall at the Proms, conquering all hearts. And we welcome the Parks. I hope you enjoyed that. Wonderful to have you with us around the country. Well, Joyce is now getting a presentation, and as is Marin Alsop. Callum Hussein is 19, started Proming 3 or 4 years ago, starting to study for a degree in music. Emma Jay now lives in Twickenham, and she works for the National Archives, been coming since 2007. I wonder what's in the boxes.
They're beautifully wrapped. I don't know if Joyce was nervous. I know you said she was about that.
Well, she said she was.
Incredible composure, as always, from her. Beautifully, beautifully sung. You did mention the Parks. I mean, four parks. Hyde Park in London, where we've heard Joseph Kalea. They've had Nigel Kennedy, Brian Ferry, Caerphilly, Belfast, Glasgow Green. The Proms atmosphere. Georgia Mann has joined us now. Yes. Georgia, the Proms, you've been going up and down the queues. You've been here more than most of us this season.
What is it
that you have picked up that's sort of particular to what makes the Proms special? Because there's thousands up and down the country going to Proms events tonight. Why? What's the magic?
Well, I hate to use that word community because it's terribly overused, but friendships are made and forged and carried on here. You know, people are crying, people are laughing together. You know, that chap Sean who I spoke to earlier on, I met him in the queue for Die Walküre, and he was there with a friend of his, but they met a lady called Helen who had never been to an opera before in her life. She decided to start with the Ring Cycle, as you do, jumping straight in at the deep end, and they became friends in the queue. They came back to each one of those epic, epic Ring Cycle operas, and it's fantastic that they will stay in touch and be friends, and it will always be there, that Proms friendship, and that's what's happening up and down the land, and that does make it special.
Well, it does, and actually throwing yourself into music. Someone was talking recently about the magic of music, and you don't need to be prepared all the time. Just go in there and immerse yourself into it. Thank you very much.
Talking of the magic of community, have to bring the tone down.
Slightly dissenting voice somewhere or other.
It is also the eccentricity factor, isn't it?
Here's Marin coming back. I think she's going to welcome the Parks, I think.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. It's my great honor and pleasure to welcome you here tonight. Good evening to everyone here in the Royal Albert Hall. Good evening. Good evening to those of you around the UK watching on the big screens. Good evening, all three of you. And good evening. Good evening to all of you listening and watching around the world, especially my family, on radio, TV, and online. And a special greeting to our four Proms in the Park venues. People gathered in Belfast, Caerphilly, Glasgow, and in Hyde Park, right across the road from us. Now, we're going to do a big shout out to the Parks, okay? But you have to follow me. Don't be early, okay? So on my cue, hello, Parks. But let's really, so they can hear them without, you know, any kind of technology, okay? You ready? Hello, Parks! Awesome. And it's with great pleasure now that you did so well with the Hello Parks, I invite you now to join us to sing You'll Never Walk Alone with the incomparable Joyce Di Donato leading us.
You'll Never Walk Alone from Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein II's Carousel, performed here at the last night of the Proms by Joyce DiDonato, the BBC Symphony Chorus, the BBC Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Marin Alsop. And that, to me, is one of the best of the new Proms traditions. It's the third year running that's been in the last night, and I suspect will be.
Wonderful. Well, we have two composers with maritime links next. Marin's not going to give us much time, actually. It's Bantok the Sea Reavers. Talks to Sea Reavers, wild and swashbuckling, but it's based on a Hebridean song about pirates. We have George Lloyd next. The maritime connection continues. The HMS Trinidad March, ship torpedoed in the Arctic convoy. Lloyd was in the band on board. Thank you. HMS Trinidad March. He was on the boat with torpedo. The only living survivor, John Farrow, is here tonight. He was taking the salute, incredibly touching. Think of the Arctic convoy. 87 merchant ships went down, 16 warships. Well, we're getting into party mode. Oh my goodness. Someone is swaggering onto the platform. It is Britannia. Joyce DiDonato is back. Wow, look out. And she's got a special cape. I wonder if there's a message on it. She's flouncing her back at the audience. Captivated. I've never seen so many flags in this hall in my life. Royal Britannia, Thomas Arne, arranged by Malcolm Sargent. So often the man conducting on this podium, Flash Harry as he was called.
I think Joyce's marvellous cape is Vivian Westwood's interpretation in pink of the Union flag.
Yes, it looks like a Union flag that's been left out in the Imperial sun for a long time. Here we go again. Oh! that's the end of that. This point in the party, sorry, the last night of the proms, and is never quite sure what is going to happen. But Misty Donato is sweeping off the stage, bedecked in the Vivian Westwood idea of the flag. But she might come back. I have been warned. Not that we can never have enough of her. We'll be right back. Elgar said that was a tune that comes once in a lifetime. It comes once every year here at the Proms. The Proms would not put up without it. Land of Hope and Glory. Elgar, Pomp and Circumstance. We may get it again, I think. Surely we got it right that time. Maren Allsop is waving, not a score, but her speech. It's traditional the last night. The conductor says a few, in her case, I think, extremely well-chosen words.
Well done, well done. You sound like natives. I mean, that in a good way. As I so well know, the BBC Proms is the ultimate showcase for great artistry and superb audiences. I'll get you in a minute. For now, let's put our hands together and let's give a big round of applause to the hundreds of artists who have made this year's Proms the most successful ever, with 57 sold-out performances. Let's hear it for everybody. And special thanks, of course, to my incredible colleagues this evening, Joyce DiDonato, and for whom I have no adjective, Nigel Kennedy, my beautiful soloist in Chichester Psalms, Yeston Davies. Composers Anna Klein and Chris Hazel. Chorus Master Stephen Jackson and the incredible BBC Symphony Chorus. And of course, my amazing colleagues, the musicians of the BBC Symphony Orchestra. And this evening gives us an opportunity to pay tribute to the founder conductor of the Proms, Sir Henry Wood, who's looking down upon us. I feel certain that he would see this evening as a natural progression toward more inclusion in classical music. Wouldn't you agree? So, in the name of progress and Sir Henry Wood, let's do three cheers. Hip hip, hooray! Hooray! Hip hip,
hooray!
Hip hip,
hooray!
Well done, well done. Now, this is, of course, a very special evening for me for many, many reasons. I've felt an incredible connection with British musicians and audiences from the minute I first conducted in this country. Your warmth and support have been so welcoming and made me feel at home. I can't thank you enough. And of course, the audience here at the Proms is the dream audience of all times. You know, our music does not come to life until each one of you is here, and tonight would be different if any one of you were missing, so thank heavens you all showed up. It's your focus, your energy, your sensible shoes, your enthusiasm, your concentration, it brings out the best in all of us, and we can't thank you enough. And on top of that, the Prommers have raised, are you ready for it? Drum roll. Oh, maybe not. There you go. £82,500 for musical charities. Thank you. Now, quite a lot has been made of me being the first woman to conduct the last night of the Proms. Thank you. I'm incredibly honored and proud to have this title. But I have to say, I'm still quite shocked that it can be 2013 and there can be firsts for women. But here's to the second, thirds, fourths, fifths, hundreds to come. And you know, I didn't grow up with many of the advantages that typically define privilege, but I grew up with the greatest advantage of all in a household filled with music and filled with possibility. My parents were both professional musicians, and they supported my dream. When I was 9 years old and I wanted to become a conductor, oh, actually, even last week when people said, girls can't do that, my parents supported me. And you know, thanks to this transformative power of music, I've also witnessed hundreds of kids in Sao Paulo with my orchestra there, and also especially in West Baltimore with the Orchids program at my wonderful Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. I've watched them access this new world of possibility and see different futures for themselves. The power of music cannot be underestimated. It's what makes us human beings. It's what makes us nations. It's what makes us a great civilization. We cannot forget that ever. And music and art cannot be pushed to the margins. They have to be front and center. And in closing, I want to thank you all, and I want to say to all the young women out there, and as I say to all young people out there, believe in yourselves, follow your passion, and never give up, because you will create a future filled with possibility. Thank you all very much.
Jerusalem, Fight for Right campaign at World War I, and the Women's Voters Hymn by the anthem of the Women's Institute. We're very nearly at the end of proceedings. I think there's going to be a lull before the National Anthem. I think, Susie, and the National Anthem has got a very special association, of course, was arranged by Benjamin Britten.
Which to me is the only arrangement of the National Anthem. It's so wonderful.
Apparently the Queen said she liked it and she had heard quite a lot. National Anthem, arranged by Benjamin Britten for the opening of Snape in 1967, approved by Her Majesty, was a royal standard fluttering among the promos, but I don't think HM is here.
No, but that absolutely incomparably good, I mean, so fantastic, that Britten arrangement of the National Anthem, performed here at the last night of the proms by the BBC Symphony Chorus, the BBC Symphony Orchestra, and conductor Marin Allsop. And that's it for the proms for this year. It's been such a privilege to be able to bring all the concerts to you and enjoy them and share them with you this season. Radio 3, the home of the proms, every concert live, and it's been wonderful to share all of those.
It has been wonderful, and we've all been so privileged. We've had so many of the artists through and in tune, and they're the concerts in the evening. It's been a miraculous season. I think this has been the best ever. People are so enthusiastic. People have been so touched by this music. And they're all stamping for more. They're not going to get any. We're going to say goodbye before really the promos take over, because they always have our line signed at the end.
Well, all very well to say goodbye, but let's look forward to next year. We'll be back on the 18th of July, 2014. Yes, 2014.
I'd still say 2014.
It's the 18th of July. Put it in your diaries. We'll see you then. From all of us here, though, it's goodbye and a very good night.
A very good night, and let's hope we do get... Alan's on. Marin is coming back. I don't know whether she's going to conduct the audience or not. This is where they take over, quite rightly. I know it's normally heard at Hogmanay, but it's a tradition at the last night of the proms. So wherever you are, join hands and thank goodness for the power, glory of music and for the BBC proms. Yet.
I think the promenade is once more. There's a serious amount of flag waving and beach ball hitting going on as Marin Allsop returns to the platform here at the Royal Albert Hall.
I've never heard of an encore. Who knows? Marin Allsop is her own woman. She's broken one glass ceiling. She might as well smash something else. Yeah, she's just bringing the BBC Symphony Chorus, sang their hearts out to their feet and the orchestra. Well, of course they came to their feet. What else would they come to? Balloons are flying. Nigel burst one of the balloons at Marin Allsop's podium earlier. She didn't seem to mind.
Finally, the orchestra can let their hair down. There's a bit of a to-ing and fro-ing between them and the promenaders now with these beach balls.
Here we go. The promenaders have started. Our line's on. So join hands wherever you are. We're with you.
Last Night of the Proms 2013, live from the Royal Albert Hall in London, presented by Sean Rafferty and Susie Klein, and certainly one of the best last nights I can remember for a very long time. Just a reminder, every prom's available to listen to online via the Radio 3 website, and that's when you want to listen to it, anytime you like, for 7 days from the broadcast. Always sad, isn't it, when the proms finally come to an end? Plenty, though, to look forward to this coming week here on Radio 3, including nightly visits to this year's Edinburgh Festival.
It takes a lot to get the Usher Hall audience on its feet, but the Chamber Orchestra of Europe raised the roof with their adrenaline-fueled performance of Beethoven's Seventh Symphony. You can hear that the second of a pair of concerts they gave at this year's Edinburgh International Festival.
On Monday, the orchestra of virtuosi in Beethoven's Eroica Symphony, Strauss's Metamorphosen, and Haydn's Joyful Sinfonia Concertante. And on Tuesday, the orchestra delves further into the richly contrasting worlds of Strauss and Beethoven with that Seventh Symphony that got them a standing ovation. The Chamber Orchestra of Europe from Edinburgh on Monday night at 7:30 on BBC Radio 3.
And in fact, we're at Queen's Hall in Edinburgh tomorrow afternoon here on Radio 3, the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra and Ilan Volkov in 20th century mould-breaking masterworks, including Amérique by Varèse and Berio's Symphonia. That's our Sunday concert tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. Well, Through the Night sets off in just over 2 hours' time with a concert the Sao Paulo Symphony Orchestra under conductor Carlo Rizzi gave in their home hall in Brazil in the summer of 2012. The centrepiece is Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 1 with András Schiff as the soloist, surrounding it Robert Schumann's Fourth Symphony, and an arrangement of one of Italian music's better-known retreats, in fact, Boccherini's nighttime retreat of Madrid, picturing soldiers returning to their barracks before Lights Out was so popular, Boccherini transcribed it 4 times for different instrumental combinations, which gave Luciano Berio the idea of making a version for full orchestra, combining all 4 of them at the same time. That's all from 1 o'clock tonight. This is BBC Radio 3. It's 11 o'clock and time now for this week's edition of Here and Now. It's presented by Ivan Hewitt.
Hello. When it comes to modern music, Britain is a land of non-conformists. We don't go in for those schools of composers with their strident manifestos that you find in Europe. Which is admirable, but it does have its disadvantages. Schools with their manifestos tend to attract a lot of attention. Quieter individuals, often writing for smaller forces, rugged individuals, quietly ploughing their own furrow, do not. On Here and Now tonight, we'll be looking briefly at one such figure in our landscape, Jeremy Dale Roberts. He was born in 1934, which makes him exactly the same age as Harrison Birtwistle and Peter Maxwell Davis. And like them, he was influenced in his youth by all those exciting things happening across the English Channel. He then went on to study at the Royal Academy of Music with William Orwin and Prior Rainier, and for 30 years was head of composition at the Royal College of Music until he retired in 1999. His output is small but exquisitely formed, and I should say there are larger scale pieces such as his Tombo, written for Stephen Kovacevic, and the Cello Concerto Death Watch, written for Rohan de Serum. His music also shows an extraordinary breadth of mind. The main piece in today's programme, the String Quintet, has layer upon layer of literary and pictorial influences, and later in the programme I'll be talking to the composer about them. But first, let's get a taste of how Dale Roberts can conjure a haunting emotional landscape out of a handful of musical elements. His Winter Music, composed in 1990, is scored for flute, oboe, clarinet, trumpet and celeste, and the celeste player also plays percussion. Here it is now, performed by members of the group Lontano. Thank you.
Thank you.
Winter Music by Jeremy Dale Roberts, performed there by members of the group Lontano. Well, as I said earlier, Jeremy Dale Roberts is actually joining me from a studio in Kent. Now, before we get on to the main piece in tonight's edition, which is the string quintet, let's just talk briefly about the Winter Music, which we've just heard, written for five instrumentalists, all the sounds apart from the untuned percussion perched up high in the treble region. And this, as well as other pieces in your output, gives me a sense that for you, restriction is very important. You clearly find it a stimulating thing to have restrictions all around you as you compose.
Yes, I think it's the limitations in the medium which I find stimulating. I've always been happy to use a limited number of players to see just exactly what I could get out of them to transcend the limitation. I mean, here my model is someone like Ravel, the Chanson Mendicace. You know, he produces an orchestra from his tiny little medium accompanying the voice. And this is what I love to do. This seems to draw something out from me that maybe a full orchestra would not do.
Is it true to say that the quintet has something of that same stimulus for you in that we're dealing here with a basically monochrome medium?
Absolutely. I love writing for strings. My cello concerto is not a concerto for solo cello. There are two solo cellos, actually a doppelganger along with the principal. It is simply accompanied by 17 strings, a little double ensemble. And it's like etching. You can do anything with black and white. And then my string trio, even more so. People have said that I'd evoke the character of gamelan, of all sorts of folkloric instruments from that tiny medium. And I have a lot of fun with that. As far as the string quintet is concerned, well, for me, it's massive. I mean, to have two violins, a viola and two cellos, it's actually a very dense medium. But still, I love playing with nuance, and there were conversations between smaller ensembles within the total, the tutti of the five string instruments.
Before we move on to the string quintet, we should just mention another piece of yours where restriction is very important, which is the series of objects or oggetti, which you wrote in homage to Giorgio Morandi, the Italian artist. Now here, of course, we're dealing with an artist who himself was fascinated by restriction, aren't we?
Yes, it's very moving, and I would urge any listener to explore the work of Giorgio Morandi. It's a sort of corrective to the excess and the arrogance of so much 20th century art and music. Morandi was content through his whole life until his death in the early 60s to explore what could be done with a small selection, almost a family of objects, that is jugs and receptacles and this and that, dusty pieces, whom he could rearrange in all sorts of variants. The colours are muted. I think one of the things that attracts me to Morandi is he's essentially a contemplative quietist.